God is so very, very good to us. Our scriptural affirmation comes from Isaiah 58, 1 through 12. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Oh, Father, we thank you and we praise you that we can come today to be with you. We ask that you would truly have your way in this place, this day, for your glory and honor. Oh, Lord, open our ears that we might hear you and obey. Open our eyes that we might see truth and adjust. Open us, our hearts, so that we might know you in a deeper, fuller way. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship together with friends and to be able to know that you are God. We praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. No longer a slave to fear. And if you've been around long enough in Christian circles, you've probably heard this little acronym. Fear, F, false, not real. E, evidence. The things that we try to prove things with. False evidence appearing. It looked like. real. And we have been captured too often by fear in our society. We've been captured too often by fear. Too often we have been shackled and kept from what God would have us to do, with being unable to enjoy our calling, being unable to enjoy who we are and whose we are because of false evidence appearing real. But today we declare we are no longer slaves to fear. Because we recognize that if we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, if we've confessed with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we are now free. We are now protected. We are now kept. And no matter the circumstances around us, we're good because He's good. Oh, Father, we praise You. And we thank You that You have been so kind. So kind as to call us unto Yourself. Now, Lord, speak to us through Your word that we might glorify Your name in all that we are and in all that we do. Yes, Lord, we praise You and we thank You. We hear Your call. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Word of God is sweet. There is nothing like it. Today we want to look at one of those familiar passages, and it seems like so much of the Word of God in Isaiah is just so familiar to us. But sometimes I think we need to see how it truly applies to us. See how we understand this thing, that it's not for those people out there or those people back then, but it is also appropriate for being applied to us. Word of God says, cry aloud. See, He's talking to me today. I'm supposed to cry aloud. I'm supposed to tell you. I'm supposed to talk to you about what's going on with us. I'm supposed to let you know something that is critically important. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you lie to yourself? Have you ever noticed that sometimes you don't tell yourself the truth? I can do that every once in a while. You know, you ever think, I'm looking good. And then your wife come along and say, what's wrong? Well, what do you mean? Or don't you like this? No, honey, change. And sometimes God needs to come to us and say, no, honey, change. Because we fooled ourselves. We've addressed ourselves in a way that is not proper. We don't realize where we are in this process. So cry aloud, spare not. Now that means I might hurt some feelings. Oh well. Sometimes that's what we need. It's time for us to be honest with each other. It's time for us to hear. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. It's funny, the word that is trumpet there is the same word that is translated shofar. And today, the big deal, shofar is a big celebration thing. Guys playing the shofar, you know, they're celebrating and dancing around when really, the shofar was an instrument that was often used for warning people, hey, the enemy's coming, hey, you're in trouble. And show my people their transgression. Now, I know that doesn't sound fun. But maybe we ought to look. You see, we would like to think that we are really okay with God. I mean, we're out here trying to do the work of God in the middle of a pandemic. We're okay people. We're pretty good folk, right? No. Show my people their transgression. The Word of God tells us that we should confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us, and we make Him a liar. So maybe we ought to take a good look at ourselves. I know it's my orange jumpsuit thing, you know? I really thought that thing looked good. I look back and just the idea of a fat man in an orange jumpsuit just doesn't work. But you couldn't have told me that then. So I want us to listen. I want us to listen and to think and to hear from the Spirit of God. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, it's interesting. These folks really were trying to do, or at least appeared to be trying to do, the right thing. Yet they seek me daily. There they were. They were making their prayers daily. They were going to the synagogues daily. They were going to the temple daily. They were in the midst of other believers daily and delight to know my ways. You know, there are those folks who are always seeking after the latest, greatest thing. They're always seeking after the new way, you know, God's doing a new thing kind of thing, you know? And they're always looking for that. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways. They act like they actually want to hear as a nation that did righteousness. They forget that they are part of this whole. Do you know we are a part of the whole of America? We are a part of the whole of the body of Christ. And as we look around and see the sickness and hurt and pain that is all around us, we should understand that we have responsibility in all of this. God has called us to be the church. We are to stand up and proclaim the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in a way that makes a difference. We are to let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Now, we know that works don't save us, but because we are saved, we've been called to work. We've been called to follow Him. We've been called to be obedient. And forsook not the ordinance of their God. Yes, they have. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. Listen, you be very careful about asking for justice. Maybe you need to ask for mercy. Maybe you need to ask for grace to be able to understand what reality really looks like, what it really looks like to God. We need His mercy. They ask me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Our God is a consuming fire. We need to take Him seriously. I don't want you to sit around quivering, oh, God's going to get me. I don't mean that, because He's a good God. He's a loving God, but He is also a just and righteous God, and we can't come just any old way. We need to recognize, yes, we bring all of our sins to Him. Yes, we bring all of our failures to Him. Yes, we do all of that. And He says, come to me and straighten up. He loves us. There's no doubt about that. And because he's a good God, he changes us from glory to glory to glory. We're being changed. We're being adjusted. We're being made different. We are his. Look for the ordinances of justice. They take delight into approaching God. And then they answer back to him. They say, wherefore have we fasted? Why have we fasted? Why have we done whatever it is our religious duty is? Why have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? God, don't you know that I have done X, Y, and Z, and when I do X, Y, and Z, you've promised to do A, B, C, and I don't understand why A, B, C is not happening because I did X, Y, and Z. Did I miss something? Oh, did you want me to put a T in there or something? No, we are not God. He is not our butler. He is not someone that just does any old thing that we would have him to do. We don't dream up what's supposed to happen and have him do it our way. It is not Burger King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God all by himself. There are wonderful things that he wants to do through us. There's a multitude of wonderful promises in the Word of God. But those promises are there that we might give him glory, not that we might satisfy our flesh. Look at this. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? We've done all this work for you, Lord. And he said, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. I can speak for preachers. Sometimes it's just fun to get up here and be able to say anything you want to say. Sometimes I get a little bit of a kick out of it, you know. Okay, you treated me a little rough this week. Well, it's my turn now. I hope that I don't do that. But the temptation is great. The temptation is great for us to do Christian service, the things that we do to satisfy ourselves. The temptation is that we would live right so that others would look at us and say, look, they're living right. And you go, well, you know, it's just me, you know. We like it. But we've forgotten what the reason is that we're doing it. We've forgotten the cause of it all. We've forgotten that we are to be living for him. We've forgotten that he's what it's all about. Some of us are happy to be saved and changed because, you know, it's a much better thing to wake up and not have a headache from the hangover. It's a much better thing to be able to walk out in the street. Nobody's whispering about you for what they've seen you do. It's a much better thing not to wonder about so many things. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife. Sometimes we do it so that we have the upper hand in arguments. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite. I'm going to be the holiest one, so I have the upper ground in this thing. And to smite with the fist of wickedness. This has been a horrible year. In one respect, 2020 is going to be, it'll go down as a fascinating year. But for me, one disappointing thing is the way that Christians have treated people. I am a Christian, and I'm not pulling myself apart, making myself special, but I have been hurt how we have behaved. The things that we've said about each other, the things that we've done to each other, the lack of compassion we've had, the lack of foresight, insight, the lack of wisdom, the lack of peace. You know, it started out that people were so afraid that the stores had no toilet paper. It soon got to be that we were suspicious of anybody of a different race. We said a lot of those people kind of things. Then there is an election where we find idols, all kinds of idols, all kinds of things that were just out there, and we just accumulated to ourselves idols. And we found this place where it seemed to be legal to say whatever you wanted, at least if it were the right people, you could say it about them, and electronically, and hide. Facebook, we should call it Maskbook, because you can hide behind all of the stuff that you said. Christians, I wish I were just talking about the world. I wish this had just demonstrated that the world was messed up, but we knew the world was messed up. They're so messed up that they are going to die and go to hell. They're messed up. They're broken. We knew that. But did it have to be us too? Remember, I'm just following scripture here. It said, cry aloud and spare not. I want to be obedient. Because we need to hear. This is a time that we need to be able to operate in power with integrity. We need to be able to operate with the Spirit of the living God so that men, women, boys, and girls come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we've got to give a better portrayal of who our Jesus is. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is the one worth bowing down to. He is the one worth all of my energy, all of my giving. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world to receive glory and honor and power. For he has created all things, and for his pleasure was and are all things created. Can we honestly say that we have been for his pleasure? We've got to consider that. Do you wake up in the morning saying, I'm going to please God today? Or do you wake up in the morning trying to defend your latest position? So, behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It's really funny. This has been an odd time for me. I've been in the middle of all kinds of people praying, I mean desperately praying, for things that are absolutely opposite each other. People that I normally say are pretty godly. And I'm just listening and I'm saying, you know what? These both can't be right. Something's wrong here. And it reminds me of the Civil War. Civil War is a fascinating time in our country. Brother against brother. Son against father. Just a really, really tough time. And there were chaplains going on both sides, and there was actual real revival. Many people coming to know Jesus Christ with holding diametrically opposed concepts, holding them firmly, some dying, never changing any of those concepts. So how does that work? Well, it works because it is not because of our goodness that God moves. It's because of his grace. It's his grace. It's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It isn't because I've gotten it so right. It's because of him. It isn't because the other person was so bad. It's because of him. And we need to understand that instead of our eyes being on each other, our eyes need to turn toward him and learn to obey him more fiercely day in and day out. He is good, and there's none other like him. He is good, and we ought to appreciate that he is good all the time. He's God. Verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? I mean, tell me, is this the fast I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is that all I'm looking for him to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Really, are you going to call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord? Do you think that your manipulation of me, I'm going to say, is okay? Do you think that when you're only coming to me to get your way, that that's okay? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Sin has got steel bands around our hearts. Sin has wrapped up our minds in chains. And we are to be able to pierce the darkness with the very word of God. That word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to rest in him and let his word move in our life. Let it cut through the stuff. We are to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't it amazing that I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling very rested lately. You know, are we resting in him? Are we really relaxed in him? Loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. People are enslaved to so many things. They're addicted to drugs and alcohol and sex. They're addicted to their phones. They're addicted. We need to help people to be able to get free. And that you break every yoke. It It's time. The only yoke you need to be yoked up to is the one that has Jesus on the other side. That's the yoke. But if you are trying to be yoked up with everything else, just imagine you've got an animal that's in a yoke, and on one side of the animal is one kind of animal going in one way, and on the other side of the animal is another kind of animal going another way. Nothing of value can get done. We've got to cast off. We've got to help people break free. But you know, someone who doesn't know that they're enslaved has a really hard time breaking free. Too often, we as Christians have been so busy arguing and looking like the world that we haven't shown them that there's something different. People, when people see you, they ought to wonder, what's different about that person? They might say, well, that's an odd duck. Or they might say, he's a really nice person. Or they might say, I don't know what's going on, but that's not normal. Listen, I'm so sick of normal. Normal is just a setting on a dryer. I'm not ready to be normal. I'm ready to be godly. Yes. Need to pick it up here. So we loose the bands of wickedness. We undo the heavy burdens. We let the oppressed go free. And that ye break every yoke. That's the fast he's, that's the stuff we're supposed to be doing. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? You know, if we're giving up something, we're not giving up something so that we can look better or we can better position ourselves in society. We need to make sure that we are helping those that are hungering and thirsting after God, that some that are physically hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of to thy house, because there are people that are hurting and in pain, and they need someone that will take hold of them and say, I will help you get on your feet when thou seest the naked, and that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. I have never seen such a weird time as this, where families are so doggone mean to each other. Our families had some real differences. But when push came to shove, they loved each other. They didn't always like each other, but they loved each other. And they saw it as an inherent responsibility to take care of each other. I know this is a crazy world, so there are all kinds of exceptions and all of that stuff, but I think we give ourselves too many outs. All right. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Start doing the right thing, and look what God will do. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That's your protection from in the rear. He'll keep you if you will do the right thing. If you will try to do the right thing, it's amazing what God will do. It's amazing if you're doing the right thing for the right reason. You're not doing it for show. You're not doing it for position. You're just doing it out of obedience to God. It's amazing what God will do. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Oh, to be able to hear God when he speaks. to be able to know that you know that you know He is leading and guiding, to be able to believe honestly that He is not a God that got things kick-started and went away, but that He is right now active with His creation, which we are, and still wants to have impact on your everyday life. Thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, speaking foolishness. And if thou draw up thy soul to the hungry, there's so many hungry and hurting, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. You'll understand. He'll be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. He's there for us. A light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. One thing that we've been talking about for the last few years is that we needed to know how to navigate through judgment. We need to know how to live in the midst of all of the crazy things going on. I think God is speaking, but we need to know how to live. And God wants to let you know that. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Let me finish this way, because I don't want to keep you all day. It's fascinating. I was reading in Daniel this morning, just thinking about Daniel. Daniel, from a teenager, was a slave. You can't sugarcoat it. He never, ever again was not a slave. Yet he went through, I think, four different kings, and in every kingdom he was elevated. He was always elevated. It was always amazing. He knew how to live in the midst of a crazy world. We need to know how to live in the midst of a crazy world. Part of it was he did it by prayer. He prayed. No matter what happened, they prayed. We're going to kill you if you pray. Well, okay, here, I'll be praying. You know, he prayed. But also, he did write. You know, I want to tell you, when I was thinking about this, and I don't want this to get away from me, I was looking out on our congregation and thinking about how marvelously God is using some of you. It's exciting, and I think it really helps your spiritual growth to allow yourself to be doing right things. I appreciate Bridget comes and volunteers at the Renaissance Family Center. I get such a kick out of that she works so hard to help people. Kim is taking care of grandbabies. Listen, the one who rocks the cradle rules the world. Katie is dealing with passing out food to about 70 to 75 children every week. Ralph will visit a doornail if you ask him to. And he comforts people and they speak of it. And you look at all of the people that are doing great thing. The Brogans keep the exterior of our building looking nice. Denny plays the bass for us and does that, and he does such a wonderful job. And Teresa helps pass out food to the hungry, and there are Marys that are just like amazing. A non-techie who has been doing more techie stuff for the last 18 years. There's God wants you to do all that you do, understanding why you're doing it. I've pulled you out from the background because nobody sees what you do. But you're noticed by God. You're noticed by God. But we don't do the stuff that we do to be noticed. We do the stuff that we do to be obedient. God has called First Baptist Church of Garrettsville to teach, preach, and heal. And we reach into our community and make a difference. We touch the world from this little old church. And I am grateful. But don't get it twisted. The minute you're doing it to be seen instead of for his glory, you've blown it. But I have to admit that sometimes all of us fall short. And because all of us fall short, we need to be able to come to him and say, Lord, cleanse me, change me. Sometimes we have to decide, am I doing what I should be doing? Am I just a spectator in the midst of all of this? Or are the things that I'm doing really, just a show? I can't tell you that, by the way. I can't look at you and tell you that. God's not given me that kind of insight most of the time. But I know you can pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And so I believe that he has called me. Thank you for saving me. And I ask that you would empower me to live in such a way that I honor your name. I surrender all that I am, thanking you for all that you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many reasons.